Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe McGee. We're going through the Bible in chronological order, and we are in the book of Exodus, which is a phenomenal book, very detailed, and actually, movies been made about it. It's just phenomenal, the trip. And what God's doing is he's telling them what to do about the temple. We're going to erect the tabernacle in the temple, what's going to be put in it, what it's being used for, why they're going to do that, what he had in mind with it when he did it. It's just a phenomenal thing. But what he's emphasizing is his wisdom. The people that built the tabernacle were gifted. The craftsmen were gifted and anointed. The builders were gifted and anointed. The seamstresses were gifted and anointed. Both men and women, it lists them by detail, what they did, what they're responsible for, what they're going to build, how they're going to build it. Very detailed, very professional, very first class, nothing done halfway. And so God is a phenomenal God. God loves to show off. He really does. But what we did the last time around, I got talking about how so many times when I've taught over the years, I mentioned how I'd make my students when I was a school administrator and my kids read a proverb a day. I said, listen, if you will read one proverb a day, which may take you maybe a maximum of 3 minutes, one proverb a day, it will change your life forever because it is the living word of God. When we talk about, who wrote the commandments, why they wrote it. And so it's just phenomenal, phenomenal thing. So today we're going to read real quick, Proverbs chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 2, which is a phenomenal short chapter, says this. Proverbs chapter 2, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, my child, listen to me. Treasure my instructions. Tune your ears to wisdom. Concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and understanding. Search for them as you would lost money or hidden treasure. Then you will understand what it means to fear God, and you will gain knowledge of the Lord. Well, let's do that just real slow. Treasure it. Tune your ears. Concentrate. Cry out. Search. God said, you got to want this. How bad do you want this? How bad do you want God? How bad do you want the presence of God? You got to want what God's got. I mean, that's why God set it up the way he did. God in essence, I want people that want me. And so he says, I'll pick up in verse 5. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of good sense to the godly. He is their shield, protecting those who walk with integrity. He guards their paths of justice and protects those who are faithful to him. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair. You will know how to find the right course of action every time. Now, I've done this with my kids so many times. God promises. God promised in Proverbs 2. I don't know what to do. God said he'll show you what to do. He will guide you on the right course every time. Well, I don't want to make a mistake. God won't let you make a mistake. He said he'll guide you, show you the way to go. He'll order your steps. He'll direct your paths. He'll guide you in all truth. You got to get this in your deep. God's good. For wisdom will enter your head, in your heart. Knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise planning will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. Man, that's good. This is common sense. Wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose speech is corrupt. Those people who turn from right ways to walk down dark, evil paths. They rejoice in doing wrong. They enjoy evil. It turns things upside down. What they do is crooked, and their ways are wrong. Wisdom, though, will save you from the immoral woman, from the flattery of the adulterous woman. She has abandoned her husband, ignores the covenant she made with God, and entering her house leads to death. It's the road to hell. The man who visits her is doomed. He will never reach the path of life. Follow the steps of good men instead. Stay on the path of the righteous. For only the upright will live in the land. Those who have integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be removed from the land, and the treacherous ones will be destroyed. Well, that ought to be a bad bumper sticker. That's a big one. basically this God says, I know what you need to do, and I'll show you. Listen to me. Follow me. Seek me. Want to learn from me. Chase me down, basically what God's saying. He said, I want you to do what's right. So we're picking up in chapter 36 here of Exodus, which is the Old Testament version of what God's saying throughout Proverbs, the wisdom of Solomon. Listen, guys, if you listen to me, I'll show you what to do every time. You won't make a wrong decision, but listen to me. So we're picking up chapter 36 of Exodus. And so verse 1 says, the craftsman who the Lord has gifted with wisdom, skill, and intelligence will construct and finish the tabernacle just as the Lord has commanded. So Moses told them to begin the work, along with those who were specially gifted of the Lord. Now you keep hearing it over and over, those who are specially gifted. And you hear people say it, you'll hear it on the regular secular news. Well, they just have a gift. Well, he just has a gift. She has a gift. That's right, they do. But everybody's gifted. When I was a school administrator, I said, listen, I know some schools have a gifted class, but I used to tell them every child's gifted in their own way. Everybody's good at something. You may not be good at that, but you're good at this. You may not be good at this over here, but you're good at this. And so find out what you're good at and make money with that. You're not going to make money with something you're not good at. You know, if you can't sing, you're not going to be a singer. If you're not an artist, don't paint anything. Go where your gift makes room for you. The Bible says your gift will make room for you, bring you forth kings and make you wealthy. What will? Your gift, your God-given gift. And so, you know, as a student, I was a C student at best. School just didn't seem to be my thing. Well, all of a sudden, I almost taught myself into that. And so for years, I didn't do well. I thought, I can't do well. I'm not an A student. I'm not an honor roll. I don't belong to the special classes or have certain letter jackets, you know, to do that for academics. But eventually, I realized something. No, I'm a child of God. I got born again, spirit filled, and I flunked algebra the first two times I took it. But I retook. I took algebra 2 at age 28 in a local school because I needed it. I had a job as an engineer. I needed to learn certain things about math. He said, Joe, you're gonna have to increase your knowledge. So I enrolled in a local school. Not school. What are you taking? Well, at that time, I took algebra 2, and I took all kinds of courses. At that time, I took an algebra 2, and I said, at age 28, I made an A in algebra 2. Why? I need it. I'm dropping babies like rainwater in heaven. I need money. And so they're going to pay me if I can do this. So I've got to go back to the night school and learn how to do this. So they'll write me a bigger check. That's a real good motivation. So anyhow, verse 2, Moses told them to begin the work along with those who were specially gifted of the Lord. Moses gave them materials donated by the people for the completion of the sanctuary. Now, this is a very orderly thing, man. This is phenomenal. Additional gifts are brought each morning. But finally, the craftsmen left their work to meet with Moses. We have more than enough materials on hand now to complete the job the Lord has given us to do, they exclaimed. So Moses gave the command, this message sent out throughout the camp, bring no more materials. You've already given more than enough. You ever had a pastor say that? Hey, guys, don't bring any more tithes. We've got more than enough. Have you got more than enough? I've never heard that. But there was a time that people's hearts were, hey, we got more than enough. We don't need any more. We got plenty. Just hold on to it. Bring no more materials. You've already given more than enough. So the Lord stopped bringing their offerings. Their contributions are more than enough to complete the whole project. The skilled weavers first made 10 sheets from fine linen. One of the craftsmen embroidered blue, purple, and scarlet cherubim on them. Each sheet was exactly the same size, 42 feet long, 6 feet wide. 5 of these sheets were joined together to make one set. A second sheet was made of the other 5. 50 blue loops were placed along the edge of the last sheet in each set. The 52 loops along the edge around the first set of sheets matched the loops along the edge of the second set. Then 50 gold clasps were made to connect the loops on the edge of each set. This, the tabernacle, was joined together in one piece. There's symbolism so much of this. I mean, I took a whole semester to study just what each detail meant, and it's all detail. God knows, he knows what he's doing. Above the tabernacle, a roof covering was made from 11 sheets of cloth made from goat hair. Each sheet was exactly the same size, 45 feet long, 6 feet wide. The craftsmen joined the 5 of the 6 sheets together to make one set. The six remaining sheets were joined to make a second set. Then they made 50 loops along the edge of the last sheet and those 50 small bronze clasps to couple the loops. So the two sets of sheets were firmly attached to each other. In this way, the roof covering was joined together in one piece. They made two more layers for the roof covering. The first was made of tanned ram skins. The second was made of fine goatskin leather. You understand, when God put it together, it wasn't flipping. This will do this. This covers this. This goes here. This does this. God is a very good detailed God. Verse 20, for the framework of the tabernacle, they made frames of acacia wood standing on end. Each frame was 15 feet high, 2.5 feet wide. There were two pegs in each frame so they could be joined to the next frame. All the frames were made this way. They made 20 frames to support the poles on the south side, along with 40 silver bases for each frame. They also made 20 frames from the north side of the tabernacle, along with 40 silver bases, two for each frame. The west side of the tabernacle, which is in the rear, was made from six frames, plus an extra frame at each corner. The corner frames were connected at the bottom, which firmly attached to the top of the single poles, forming the two poles, for there's one in each corner. On the west side, they made a total of eight frames, along with 16 silver bases, two for each frame. Have you ever bought something you had to put together? We've done this so many times. You know, you order some, all of a sudden things weren't necessarily made in America. They came from overseas. And then you ever had those times you'd open something up, you got the instructions, and you realize, well, two pieces were missing, or three pieces are missing, or four pieces were wrong. And it's from overseas. You can't run down to Walmart and get the extra pieces. And you think, what am I going to do? And you go back to the manufacturer as well. We'll have to order it. And so 4 weeks later, maybe it comes, maybe it doesn't. And it's like, God is very detailed. Here's what you're going to need. Here's what it does. There'll be no leftovers, guys. When you finish putting the tabernacle together, there'll be no pile. I wonder where that went. I wonder what we're supposed to do with that. Frank, did we forget something here? We got some leftovers. When they finished the tabernacle, there were no leftovers of any kind. He had exactly built the way it was supposed to be built. Phenomenal, phenomenal. Let's jump down to verse 31. They made five crossbars from acacia wood to the frames from the south side together. Made another five from the north side, five more for the west side. The middle crossbar was 5.5 feet way up, frames along each side, running from one end to the other. The frames and crossbars were overlaid with gold. Yeah, you don't get these at Walmart either. The rings used to hold the crossbars were made of pure gold. Then a curtain was made of fine linen. Cherubim were skillfully embroidered into it, in the blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. This curtain was attached with four gold hooks sitting to four posts of acacia wood. The posts were overlaid with gold, set into silver bases. Then they made another curtain for the entrance of the sacred tent. It was made of fine linen cloth embroidered with blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. This curtain was connected by five hooks on five posts. The posts were decorated tops, and the bands were overlaid with gold. The five bases were molded from bronze. It's bronze and gold and bronze and linen and fine linen. This is one very detailed tabernacle. And again, I'll emphasize the fact there were no leftovers. Nothing was left over. It was exactly how God had made. It's incredible. And so if God did that with a tabernacle, what do you think he's done with our life? There are no accidents. God's put everything together the way it's supposed to be. And so I remember when I was a school administrator and we had a special ed class because we had several kids in our Christian school. One young girl had been born with no arms, no legs. One had cerebral palsy. One had Down syndrome. You think, well, why did God do that? Well, God didn't do that because there's a devil. That's why some babies make it out of the womb. Some babies don't make it out of the womb. That's why there'll be a lot of people in heaven that you've never met. Because once you have conception in the womb of a mother, that's an eternal being. That's not just a body. That's a body with a spirit and a soul. That thing and that body is going to live forever. It's a God creation. Well, what happens, the devil gets involved. And so throughout history, throughout the Old Testament, people did weird things. They would sacrifice their children and burn their kids and slaughter their kids. And, you know, even Pharaoh had all the baby boys 2 years of age and under, all up down the Nile River, slaughtered Bethlehem. They went to Bethlehem, killed every baby boy 2 years of age and under. The devil's looking for God to kill him before he grows up. Hell's been here from day one. Adam and Eve got fired from the job, evicted from the house, kids start killing one another. And people say, why did God let that happen? God did not let that happen. Sin's got death attached to it. It'll try to get in your family. It'll run down. The Bible says sin will run down to the third and fourth generation. You know, I've seen families with alcohol in it. Well, my daddy was an alcoholic. My granddaddy was not. Well, you need to break that curse. The Bible says we've been redeemed from the curse of law, which was poverty, sickness, and death. Well, if you don't know that, you just, well, it's just, it's in our family. Well, it runs in our family. Well, that runs in our family. Well, that runs in my family. Well, nothing runs in my family. I've been redeemed. My family, I stopped that mess. And I prayed over every child that we've ever had, grandchildren. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. But somebody has to take a stand. The devil has to be resisted. God has to be chased. It's called the Bible. It's a real good book. Volume 2 is not coming out. But God's laid out how we're to live our life every day. And it's just a phenomenal book. The greatest thing you'll ever do is just get your Bible open and start reading a proverb a day. If you'll read one proverb a day, it will create its own hunger. And man, you're going to be thrilled. And you're going to read, and I still do it today. I've been doing this for years. And so you realize every time you read, you say, I didn't know that. Well, it's like, how long have you been reading the Bible? Well, 40 years. You didn't know that? Nope, didn't know that. Did you ever read that before? Evidently, but I must have missed that because it's called revelation, not information. And so God will show you something new every day if you'll chase him. It's a phenomenal run. So God bless, guys. Thanks for listening today. Tune in next time. We'll pick up right here. God bless. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God could do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.